Hackers made off with roughly
cryptocurrency
Tuesday due to a vulnerability in their system. But as of Wednesday morning, the hackers had returned nearly $5 million of it. It's unclear who's responsible for the hack or why the money is being returned, though experts say even if you can steal crypto assets, laundering them and cashing them out is quite difficult due to the transparency of the blockchain.
The son of an A-list actor is facing backlash after ranting about coronavirus mandates. Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, posted on Instagram that he's tired of wearing a mask and people should stay home if they're worried about getting sick. Both of his parents got sick from COVID at the beginning of the pandemic, but Chet refuses to get vaccinated, saying it should be a choice and not a requirement. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, I'm Nathan Lum, host of Tech Time Radio with Nathan Lum on KKNW. Tech Time Radio's live show is Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m., and you can always check us on the web at techtimeradio.com. Our segmented stylized radio gives you the breaking news before it hits the mainstream media. Join myself and Mike Gradeo as we'll make you laugh.
That's good. That sounds fun. It's worked for you, didn't it?
Just a little bit. And learning something new in technology. Join us Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. The technology show for the everyday common person.
And now for your alternative talk weather outlook. One excessive heat warning goes into effect today, which will last until Saturday evening. For today, we'll see sunny skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 86, and northwest winds between 5 and 7 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly clear, with a low around 65. For tomorrow, the temperatures jump up to 94 degrees when the sunny skies continue, cooling off to a low around 68 overnight. And finally, for Friday, it should be the warmest day of the heat wave, with highs reaching the upper 90s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Ritika Rose. Welcome to Awaken Your Truth, where I bring conscious dialogues and stories that will help you free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. I hope to shift your perspective and create deeper understanding of yourself and others. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a purpose. Every experience has a reason. This show is about engaging with the truth of who you are, discovering your personal power and stepping into your authentic self so you can have more compassion and empathy for yourself and everyone around you. It's time for us to dig deep and learn to see ourselves and others with clarity so that we can come together and create a brighter future for humanity. When we free our minds, we can heal our lives. And this is how we build a powerful, transformed world. Awaken your truth starts now.
Wow, everybody. Welcome. I'm Dr. Pat. And for the next three shows with the most amazing Ritika Rose, I get to share this journey. And then Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose will air on Transformation Talk Radio, hosted by the most amazing person. Let me tell you a little bit about her. I just want you to know a little bit about her and about what you can expect. You know, when I think about, I was talking about this morning, and Ritika, you can jump in any time. I was talking to someone this morning, and I explained that about, I want to say 2019, I think it was in the fall of 2019, something happened in my life that shifted me. And what happened in my life that shifted me is exactly what your show is about. I discovered a new truth, and that new truth led me to really up-level the game for myself and for the network with something that happened. And you are bringing a powerful message out in the world. And for the next several shows, this one including, this is a trilogy of Conscious Series Part 1.
Love it.
This is Healing the Dark Night of the Soul, Breaking Through into Freedom of Mind. Now, you and I have been chatting for the past several weeks. But today's event with you, today's show with you is how we live in the world of mind, and yet we free it so that we can change the world. Yeah. Now, free your mind is one of my favorite thoughts.
Yes.
And both. Nathan, Nathan, you're going to have to pull that up during the break. Right?
Yes. I can belt that song all day.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite bands, by the way.
I want to ask you a couple of questions, but I want to start by giving you an example, and then I would love for you to roll with it.
Okay.
Yesterday afternoon, I got a letter. Benny forwarded me three letters, and I've got to apologize to Susie Hutchins because Susie sent a letter in February, a letter in May, and a letter in July, and they ended up in somebody else's box at KKNW. So, Susie, I am sorry, so sorry. I apologize, and so does Benny, and it just happens. But in one of the first things, and thank you for the gift. Sent me $10 over here in February and said, buy yourself something nice. Oh, my God, Susie, you're so amazing.
But here's a little surprise gift just often to get sometimes. They're so meaningful.
People always, people ask me? They ask me, do you really have the most amazing listeners? Oh, okay, really? Free Your Mind is by En Vogue. But I want to show you something, and then I want you to talk about and break down the Dark Night of Soul experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hold it up.
Okay.
Okay.
If you ain't making waves, if you ain't making waves, you ain't kicking hard enough.
What? Your mind. All right.
I'm known to make waves a little bit because I speak the truth all the time. But
that's it.
You know, when you're not speaking the truth, your mind doesn't create.
And let's talk about how we have to take a real hard look at Dark Night of the Soul and how we have to get through that. Tell us about your life that led you to Dark Night of the Soul. Because if we are not making waves with our own selves and our own Dark Night of the Soul, then we are not kicking it hard enough, are we?
Yeah, well, and here's the interesting thing. I was thinking about this and meditating on this morning too before our show started. And it's interesting. And I'm actually going to read a description I have because to really explain the Dark Night of the Soul to people who don't understand it on a spiritual level or on an awakening level, it's difficult to share the experience of what one goes through. I mean, it was deep for me, and I'm sure anyone else has gone through it. It was deep for them. But, and honestly, when I was going through it, I didn't even know what it was. I just thought there was something wrong with me. Like, what is wrong with me? Yes, En Vogue, Nathan. I was feeling like, I was feeling like this deep loss within myself, like this deep depression. I was really questioning the purpose of my life up until that point. I mean, or not even the purpose of my life, but the purpose of who I am supposed to be in this life. And like, what am I supposed to do on a deeper level, right? For me, 10 years ago, I realized all my transformation periods come every 10 years, right? It's like 2002, I moved to Los Angeles, and I created a whole life for myself. And that's really where 10 years later, 2012, is really when the awakening happened. And now we're rolling into 2022, where I feel like I'm in a new phase of my life, like starting the show, whatever's going to happen for me in this next 12 months, right? But to explain my Dark Night of the Soul, so, 2002, I made a decision to leave the Bay Area to go to Los Angeles. I just felt this calling. I needed to go, right? I didn't know what it was. I just needed to go. And I'm an occupational therapist by trade. I'm a licensed occupational therapist. I have a double major degree in occupational therapy and psychology, right? So I've been practicing in physical and mental health for the last 22 years, right? And so as soon as I moved to Los Angeles, within 3 months of me moving there, my career as a director of rehabilitation started. And for the next 10 years, I was a director of rehabilitation for many rehabilitation centers down in Los Angeles, with my last leadership position being in one of the largest facilities in Los Angeles. I had 30 direct reports. I was managing 105 patients on my caseload. The level of work was exorbitant. I didn't have an assistant like most facilities do or most directors do. I didn't have any support. I was working literally 18-hour days. I'd get up at 5, be on the phone with my staff. I'd go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock, get up, roll with it again. I mean, and this was happening for a two-year period. And for people that hold positions like this, we understand the level of stress that comes with this kind of work. But at the same time, I had a really strong passion. I still do have a really strong passion for the creative arts and entertainment. So while I was a director of rehabilitation and running like these large facilities and doing my work there in Western medicine, I was also dabbling or, you know, taking on little projects here and there in the entertainment industry. And I was given an opportunity to own and produce a film. And so I was, you know, as a director of rehabilitation there, I was the owner and now producer of this film. We were about to get it made, and I was doing everything there for that project. And then I was also letting go of a relationship that I was in. So who I had considered my soulmate at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was holding that position. I was healing from a loss of the soulmate relationship. And this partnership I was in started to become emotionally abusive to the point where I was not even comfortable to be in the same room with this individual anymore because I didn't know if it was going to get violent. So I had three major things coming to a head all at the same time. And something happened where I just broke down.
Mm.
I broke down, and I think mostly it was like the loss of relationship. I started questioning all of my relationships that I had had. Like, why can't finally something work out? You know, why am I experiencing the same patterns, et cetera, over and over again? I am this person in this position. I've been holding these titles for so long, but still feeling like under-recognized or you learn this through your waking that you don't really need the recognition and all that, but, you know, it's sometimes nice to just be acknowledged and recognized for who you are and what you're doing and the level of work that you're doing instead of everything that comes with, you know, these positions and meeting these expectations. And then also now being in this sort of abusive relationship where I was like, what is going on? And something just broke down in me. I think everything just took a head. Physically and mentally, and it took a toll on my body, and it took a toll on my mind. And I'm sure people can understand that when listening to this. Right? It was a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of internal conflict within myself that I was dealing with, and a lot of questioning of why is this happening to me, right? The whole why is this happening to me type scenario, instead of realizing as you awaken and you go through the spiritual processes that everything is being done for you. So this is a longer explanation of what happened, but really what happened this one night was, it was me. I literally broke down on my knees in my apartment, sobbing, crying, like screaming to God, like, what, there has to be a deeper purpose for my life than what I'm experiencing right now. I know I need to be doing something more meaningful. I know my life needs to feel more meaningful than just like going through the motions of what everyone is expecting of me, whether it's work, whether it's society, whether it's the pressure I put on myself from the family, you know, pressures of being raised in a certain culture, X, Y, Z, right? Yeah. I felt like I needed to do more. I needed to be more. Something more just needed to happen. And so I'm just going to read this description. The dark night of the soul is a time when a person undergoes a difficult and significant transition to a deeper perception of life and their place in it. During this time, a person's true self is experiencing a deep inner conflict. So then I like to say, those who move through the dark night of the soul experience this awakening period differently. One comes to the darkness with their own unique set of circumstances that is resolved in a spiritual transformational process. So that night that happened, I lost it. I went to bed. I woke up the next morning like a completely different person. I can't explain what happened. I think people that have been through this process, Dr. Pat, you can probably talk to them a little bit. We just wake up a different, something shifts inside of us. Like an energy has been lifted, a new energy has come in. And from that moment, I literally woke up the next morning, everything in my life just started rolling into place. Everything started aligning. The people that I needed to work with to heal my inner conflicts were starting to come in. My relationships with people started to open up in a different way. I started to see myself in a different way. And because I started seeing myself in a different way, I started seeing others in a different way. And, like, so I really awoke to my truth. And my truth was that I really am enough just who I am.
Yeah.
I was created on purpose for a purpose. My higher source loves me. I was created out of love. I was created for love. And we really all are just here to serve each other as a collective and as a humanity, to help make each other better in this lifetime.
Yeah.
It's not about the competition. It's not about the society pressures, the family pressures, and what everybody else puts on us to make us feel like we need to do something or be something other than just being our true self.
Yeah.
Right?
And boy, haven't we, what a timely conversation. And oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing that.
I talk a lot, so sorry, that was a lot, but I mean, I'm not sorry.
It's not a lot. It's perfect. Because, Ritika, one of the things that I don't know how what you called it exactly. I don't know if you called it an awakening. No, I shared this morning. I've had two events in the past 3 years, I'd say, where I was immediately different.
Mm-hmm.
It's the oddest thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the outside world, I probably wasn't.
Right.
But on the inside, I was.
Right.
And out of that difference, we're able to move forward in a more freeing way, aren't we? Because the truth we face is the truth within ourselves. We got to do that first.
Right. Yeah. We've got to hold ourselves accountable and be responsible for our own life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not holding ourselves accountable and we're not being responsible for our own life and our own happiness and our own inner peace,
mm-hmm.
right? That's where the conflict starts to arise because we're not operating in our authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And our authentic self is our truth,
mm-hmm.
is the love of who we are. I mean, we're pure souls to begin with. It's the outside stuff that creates all the conflict inside, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. You know, part of this transitional period, I told you I referenced it back a while ago, but I too was in an abusive relationship. And, you know, I didn't really talk about it on air until, I don't know when I started to be more open about it. But I realized there was a need in the outside world. And what you and I are talking about now, that played out over and over and over again in the headlines over the past 18 months and also in the Olympics. And it got played out to demonstrate the emotional and mental health experiences that people are having, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, 2020, as much as it's been such a disruptive year and really moving into 2021 too with COVID and everything else,
mm-hmm.
we have to realize how much has surfaced to the light.
Mm.
Right? So when we have these conscious dialogues and we talk about, you know, spirituality and the spiritual experiences, like everything is on purpose, right? So I really, after my awakening, I really realized that everything is on purpose. There are no accidents, right? So why is this all happening? It's all happening because this was the time. This was a time where everything needed to come to light. This was a time where everything needed to surface, right? People are diving deeper into themselves and recognizing themselves more and what their true needs really are. So now when our celebrities and our athletes or even, you know, anybody else is now being more open about their physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental health issues, because everything is tied together. Let's also remember that. There's mental and emotional health, but your mental and emotional health are directly tied to your physical health. And that's where my Western medicine comes in. And now when I do my integrative life coaching, I blend my Western knowledge with my Eastern and spiritual philosophy knowledge, right? Because I came to really realize as I was working with my patients, the physical symptoms that they were feeling, or not even feeling, that they were healing through, were all because of some underlying level of mental or emotional challenge or stress that they were holding on to that couldn't go anywhere else except to erupt into physical illness, right? So, and that's another conversation, but that's really like the truth of a lot of what happened. So people are recognizing that now, right? Like when their mental and emotional health is not in an aligned place for them, everything else starts to feel not so happy and good. You know, everything feels icky. For like a lack of better words, it really is icky.
It feels icky. And you know, I want to take a short break and come back and talk about this because, you know, one of the things that happens when we have a breakthrough experience like you just had, you know, I want to stay with that moment and that word. We're different. I mean, when Jessica and I came back from that video shoot, we're on the airplane, it's dark at night, and we looked at each other, and I just looked at her and I said, I'm different. That's all I could say. I said, I'm different. How are you feeling? And he said, I'm different too. And we started to talk about that. And out of that came an initiative that we're going to be creating mm-hmm. in the next year. It's called AI for the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my question to you when we come back. As we transition from dark to light, as we shed these beliefs, we probably should fasten our seatbelt, because the goody ideas that are coming to us, we've never had the experience before. When we come back, how do we go through? How do we break through? For those of you out there, I want you to know this is your invitation and introduction to the most incredible Ritika Rose. And we're going to talk when we come back about what she's doing to not just help us understand the dark night of the soul, but how to work with her to move through it. How we can all look at ourselves, look at our lives, and know we do not have to take this journey alone.
Right.
That is not our birthright. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to provide you lots of information. And the question is going to be, how do you get through that transition? Do you take the red pill or the blue pill? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Feel
just okay?
Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with the Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Join a global community connecting our hearts with extraterrestrials who only understand unconditional love and inner peace. The Extraterrestrial Trust Revolution, ETR, provides expertise in raising an individual's energy level through a 13-month course and 8 energy portal journeys. Find out more about this 13-month course as well as an entire resource for you to learn about ETR at connectwithets.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Do you remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest? The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
Gotta love them. I saw them the other day on TV. I don't know what they were doing. Yeah. Love that song. Gotta love it, right?
Love that song. Everybody get the greatest hits. This is their promo.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, everybody. I love this introduction to Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose right there. This is Conscious Dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. And this is a trilogy of conscious series right now. And what this means, we're starting out with a conversation that has to do with breaking through into freedom of mind. That's where we start. But we start with the conversation of Dark Night of Soul. And what you shared in your story you shared was so beautiful, because really what you touched upon is what millions of people are going through right now. I would love folks to know, number one, we're excited about your upcoming show, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how people can work with you. Let's talk about what you're doing with your healing services, your free consultations. What is the best place to send people?
Well, I mean, to work, I mean, please visit my website at www.ritikarose.com. Then on the contact page there of the website, there it sends you to a link to set up a free 15-minute consultation with me if you are looking to dive deeper, you know, into awareness of yourself and sort of journey through the healing or the challenges that you feel like you're facing right now. But in that consultation call, you know, actually, sometimes it lasts a little longer. I really dive in. I mean, you know, because I'm surface-based, I'm a heart-centered practitioner. Really, you ask any of my clients, I'm completely focused on you. You know, I want to make sure that I am providing the support that you need. I want to make sure that, you know, before we even start working together, that we're a good fit, right? That I can provide the services that you need. And that's very important. So, you know, we will talk about there on that consultation call, you know, sort of where you are right now in your life, what you feel like you're moving through, and sort of where you feel like you want to transition or transform or, you know, move into. And then there I'll go through my, you know, through the different services and programs that I offer. And we can decide how to work together from there. Yeah, and everything is very customized and personalized to my clients. I mean, while I have a program and I have, you know, but everything is very customized to what their needs are, right? Because there's no human being the same.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, even if you and I share a common theme about both of us being in abusive relationships, our experiences from them might be similar, but they're not the same.
Right.
And that's really what I love about this. You know, you cannot look at each of us because we are so unique. Uniqueness actually is our birthright. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about next, because, you know, when you have that uniqueness and that is the experience you go through, Dark Night of Soul, it's going to be different for everybody. It requires a bigger conversation. But as we go through that, and you especially in your work, and you break through the experience, I was telling you during the break that I think I was stuck in the transition period. I had that epiphany in 2019 on a plane, and I started to make bigger changes, right? You know, we are a breath away from launching our new technology, a breath away. As a matter of fact, I got two people chatting about it now, one from South America and the other from India. They are Skyping about, like, one last issue. And what I realized in coming back was, from that point in time, it's taken me time to get to the realization of the next leg of my journey. You know, it's taken, it was such a transformative experience for me that it's taken me time. And, you know, I talked about Susie Hutchins. Susie, I got to tell you, I love you, and I can't apologize enough. Benny was so sorry. We didn't know that these letters were in a different box, and thank you, and I will spend the money wisely. But people are listening to us, Ritika. I mean, if you looked at what Susie sent, she's listening. Our listeners are listening. They are hungry to know from you, how do I get through it? And, you know, part of this is me not judging myself for taking so long. But now I've hired four incredible people, all different personalities. And I realized this week, you cannot manage them the same. They're all different. But in the end, you must speak the truth. Help us understand what you did to break through, what you did for yourself, what happens when you free your mind. And that's why I said before the break, fasten your seatbelt, because you may start flying. What did you do?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said before the break, I woke up the next morning a different person. You really can't explain that. But then I started seeking. You know, we talk about, like, the truth seekers, et cetera, right? So, like, I really started seeking the truth about myself. And I don't even know, like, how where to start with this. It was so much whirlwind, but I'll try and condense it in the short time that we have. I created the Trilogy of Conscious series, because it's in the next 3 months of having these conversations, really more and more is going to come out. But really, you know, how I broke through is, and why I do what I do now, is because I literally found, and I wasn't ashamed to, this is another, big topic, is I found and I wasn't ashamed to hire life coaches, work with mentors, take classes and dive deeper into my spirituality, my personal development, my personal growth, understanding life on a deeper level, right? And the other thing I realized through all of this, we never stop learning. We never stop growing, right? So really recognizing the importance of continuing to do that self-growth work, because we're changing all the time. Things are happening for us. Things are happening with us. You know, we always want to stay our best selves, right? So, like, through the coaches and mentors I was working with, that was how I was able to identify and develop and awaken more and more and more into my true self. And then my meditation practice was really, that was the one shift in my life that really changed everything. And very quickly, in people, some people may understand this, some people will not, are intuitive. Our listeners will definitely understand this, but the minute I started meditating, I think God and my angels and, like, my higher sources were just waiting for this to happen, because within 3 months of my meditation practice, I opened up into this pure channel. And that's another thing I can't explain. But for those who are channels, understand this too. And I just started getting downloads. And downloads and downloads, and everything was coming in me. Do this next, do this next. I knew what would happen before it was happening. So for those that are watching this, like, later, or the replay, or whatever, you know, put something in the conversation, like, raise your hand, something, right? Like, those that understand it know it, right? Like, you're going to meditation, you're just this open channel, and you're hearing and you're seeing things, and it's literally happening. You know, like, I'd be in meetings at work, and, like, our management meetings, and I get, this is going to happen next. They're going to say that. It was happening in the next second. But anyway, I digress. So back to me, right? The two-week process, right? Good thing I have a radio show now, because I talk a lot. So, you know. But so what was happening in my process was, okay, now, Ritika, this was literally the message I got. You're going to start healing with your hands. I'm like, I'm going to start doing what? You're going to start healing with your hands. I didn't know what that meant. So I started Googling healing hands, and Reiki came up. And I didn't know what Reiki was. Even being East Indian myself, born and raised in America, but in India, Reiki is a big thing. Reiki is a very big, in East Asia. I didn't know what Reiki was. So I started researching on Reiki, doing my education on it, researching teachers and people that I aligned with, and really understanding that more. And it felt right in my heart. It felt right in my soul. Because I was already a healer by trade as an occupational therapist and working in Western medicine, but now I was being led to heal on a deeper level with my hands, the physical and emotional struggles that people were going through, right, to relieve their pain, right? So then I found my Reiki master, and I trained and I studied with her. The next download I got was, you're now going to be life coaching. Mm. It did the same thing. Researched, understood what life coaching meant. What was that all about? Yes, I'm already counseling people and doing this type of work in my occupational therapy practice. Let me take it to another level, right? Let me get certified in that. So I did my Reiki and life coaching certifications around the same period of time. So I trained and studied in both of those while I was still working with my coaches and my mentors and having that support that I needed as I was stepping into this next journey of my life, right? Because then what happened after that was I left management. I left my leadership and management career because now I felt called, or I was being called, to heal on a deeper level with my integrative coaching and healing practice, right?
Yeah.
So blending now my Western medical knowledge that I had with now my Eastern and spiritual trainings and philosophies, and blending that all together to really help my clients understand on a deeper level why they're feeling the way they're feeling.
Yeah.
And why things are happening for them in their life,
This is really
really, this is really what I was talking about before, and I want to talk about this with you as we go into the next discussion about this, because one of the things that happens so often is we think sometimes, Ritika, that when we have this newfound purpose, right? And I want to talk to you about this when we come back from break. When we have this newfound purpose, this new calling, you know, sometimes we think we've got to have, like, the fireworks that went off at the Olympic closing ceremony. Sometimes it's just the knowing the next indicated thing, this, the next indicated thing. I want to talk with you when we come back about why your consultations are so important and how we now go to following the calling, because the way you just described it is such a natural flow. And I think if we could help people understand how natural the flow is to transition from dark to light, we would be able to say, look, it is the next indicated thing you do. It's not how big that is. It's not how little it is. It's not how better it is. It's not how worse it is. It's the next indicated thing. When we come back, following the calling, how does the new direction take us into awaken your truth? And we'll have some tips and a recap from Ritika Rose. Let's stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOgnedo.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join Dr. Papasili in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
You're fabulous for the world.
Hey, I love it.
Awesome.
I love it. Rocking it. We're rocking it with Ritika Rose. Ritika, before we start to talk about following the calling, a new direction, but also what I mentioned about the next indicated thing, a couple of things. Again, let's talk about what's coming and how people can find out about it. Certainly your show will be here in no time. Really excited about it. But also, let's make sure folks know how they can connect with you, how they can set up this call with you, and how they can work with you.
Yeah, so, again, RitikaRose.com, and all of my social links are on the bottom of the page. But to set up a time to talk with me or a free consultation, please go to the contact page there and click the link that will take you to my scheduler. My Instagram is awaken.your.truth. My Facebook page is Life Redefined by Ritika Rose. So my coaching practice is called Life Redefined. Please go there. And my YouTube channel is Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose. And I'm going to start creating, my Facebook groups and things like that to come. And as my show goes on, we'll definitely let the listeners know about that, so you can come in and have a more intimate discussion with me and in the private Facebook groups, and have a sacred space to just awaken your truth.
And free your mind.
Free your mind. And heal your life and embody your power.
Yeah. What is it? Free your mind and the rest will happen. I mean, it's just the words of that song, which is so powerful. You and I talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I love it because if you follow the lyrics of that song in so many ways, what you get to is what we're talking about now. It's following a calling in a new direction for life. I mean, I got this, Susie, I don't know if you're listening, but man, when I got all of them at one time, I wasn't meant to get all of them at one time, but I was meant to get all of them.
Exactly.
Even if they're months later. And they just brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, the reason I say that is because sometimes when we question our calling, we can repeat that dark night.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we were just talking about. Yeah, so I was telling Dr. Pat at break that, you know, I really did want to bring up this one point to everybody listening today. I mean, while Dr. Pat and I are talking about, you know, our dark night of the soul, maybe our original time of having it, we can go through it again. Right? And like I had mentioned, I feel like every 10 years I'm going through a transformation period. And most definitely during COVID and into this year, I mean, we can see for so many people, because so many people are just being more vocal about how they're feeling now, this could definitely be a dark night of the soul for many people. I know, I will be very honest. Obviously, I'm all about the truth. Like, I know I've gone through it in the last 18 months. I know it. I haven't been my best self, and I've had to really... Another thing to just caveat is, like, I moved from Bay Area to Los Angeles, had my career there, and then I moved back to the Bay Area. And in all authenticity, the energy here is very harsh on my soul, right? And I don't really align with it here, but I am here to take care of my family and to be here more for them, et cetera. And that's just the truth of where my life is right now. But it's been difficult for me to sort of adjust to being here again. And I feel like I was going through it again, right? And then here comes Transformation Talk Radio. And I was given this opportunity to create my own show and just share my voice on a larger scale and on a deeper level. And I agreed to just roll with it, right? Because everything, too, is so sort of what Dr. Pat and I were touching on previously is that, you know, and just like Dr. Pat just said, she got all of Susie. Am I saying right? Is it her name Susie?
Susie.
All of Susie's letters and recognition to Dr. Pat at the same time.
Yeah.
But everything is in timing, right? Dr. Pat needed to see all of that together in one pile versus getting it one at a time. So through my awakening process and through most people that have gone through awakening process, we realize that there really is divine timing in everything, right? So when we think that things are not happening the way that they should right now in this present moment, maybe it's not supposed to be happening right now in this present moment, right? Because our guides know how our life should be moving along. You know, we sort of all have that purpose and destiny of who we are meant to be and what we're supposed to do, small scale, large scale, whatever it is. As long as you know that you're following your call and your purpose to, I believe, like I said at the top of the show, is how we're here to serve one another, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you know that you're in a space and you're doing the best that you can to be the best person,
yeah,
to do the best that you can to help everybody else and be part of the collective, And love yourself for that. You know what I mean? And acknowledge yourself for that and respect yourself for that.
And, you know, really what we're talking about here, and I love that we're coming full circle on the conversation, really, because I think the first bit that we have to come to is the recognition of the truth we have inside of us about ourselves. And, you know, it's so fascinating to really see not only the perspective you can gain by freeing your mind, but that perspective just frees your soul so that you can create in the world. You know, you and I talked a lot in preparation for this show and your upcoming shows, which I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about what this means for us to awaken our truth, to heed the calling, and to have the courage and faith and trust to take that next indicated step.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me personally, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I just became this open channel, and that's where the faith and trust really came in, because I was also really listening intuitively and following everything I was receiving intuitively, and it was usually really on point. But that was also because I had let go of anything else that was eating up or draining or blocking my energy field, right? I was keeping my energy pure. Where I lived, my space was pure.
Yeah.
The people I chose to surround myself were pure. Even if they weren't, I had the tools and techniques that I had learned and trained myself in to keep myself grounded, right? And I also had the support system, right? Whether it was my coaches, my mentors, or the new friends that were coming into my life, the new people that were coming into my life, I just sort of understood my sort of way of being and speaking now, right? The alignment of those conversations with people that just hear you, accept you, you know, are just aligned with you in those sort of conversations, you know, and support you no matter what, right? But those relationships were starting to happen because I was showing up in my truth. So I started to recognize, you know, who are my people? Right? And so those are the people that I kept myself with. So so journeying through the process, it's just really that, right? So first, it's really important in trusting yourself, having faith in yourself and faith in how you're being guided, right? But then also important to have the support of the people that you align with, whether it is a coach, whether it is a mentor, like myself to many of my clients and even, you know, my patients, et cetera, that we've got your back. Like, we are here to fully support you on this journey, you know, and help you see your truth along the way when things get rocky and challenging, right? Mm-hmm. And then also identifying the people in your, really identifying your people. Who are your people that get you, love you, accept you, you know, regardless of what it is that you're going through, you know? But you come to a knowing of who those people are because you start to, how do I say this? You know, but you do start to create your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what you're saying, exactly. And let's talk about this for a minute, because this is part of what we're going to talk about to help people with what you do next. You know, I don't want people who are listening to the show to think that making these decisions are necessarily easy, right?
They're not always,
because I mentioned the word courage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making the decision to bring on three new producers at one time, add it to an already existing producer, and an attempt to mentor everybody at once and bring everybody up to speed, you know, that decision by itself made everybody's eyes roll back. And so I had to put some things in place to provide individual mentorship because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And now compound that with a new vision we have for everything we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes passion that keeps us going may keep us going even through difficult times. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Yes. And I'm pausing because that's heavy too. Like, as you were speaking, what I wanted to say to everybody was,
piggybacking on courage is it's twofold, right? I think a lot of us, the fear comes in when we feel like we're going to be judged or not accepted or like not loved anymore for the decisions that we make, right? Those are major facts in life, right? Everybody wants those things. But it's having the courage to know yourself enough to feel deeply enough who you are and what your next move is to make the decisions that maybe people are not going to understand, right? Making a career transition, getting mental health support, right? These things are like stigmas in life, right? You can't do that. What are they doing? That's not the way society rolls. Well, but I'm me. I'm not you. And I don't want to be you. And please don't be me. You know, right? Like, just be, like you said, be your unique self because we all created uniquely, right? So having the courage to step forward and just do what you know is within your soul. Feel that freedom in yourself, right? And your freedom in your mind, freedom in your life, so your soul feels free. Again, like at the top of the call is like, when you're not living through your authentic self, then you're feeling constricted.
Absolutely.
Having the courage to do that. And so then back to the question on passion is, what are you really passionate about? I am absolutely, and this is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer for me as my time goes on with this journey, I'm absolutely passionate about helping people. It really is about the truth for me, helping people step into the truth. Now, there's that authenticity word is thrown around a lot these days, but yes, there's authenticity, but it's really about stepping into your truth and integrating all of that into you so you feel free mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
Because when you feel, for mental health and emotional health, I realize has become my biggest passion for people.
Yeah.
I was listening to, I'm going to say this in a way of saying stuff, but I was listening to an interview with Akil Swan, and I loved how you both were talking about, and she specifically said, we all have our communities that we identify with, whoever that is, right? For me, it's definitely mental health and emotional health and a lot of other communities that come around that are dealing with those challenges, right? But why? Because we're able to identify something, and we're able not only to identify it, we're able to come to the truth about it and to value it within ourselves enough to go out and say, these are the people I want to serve because I get it, right? Because I've experienced it some way so personally. And for me, it's not even just myself, but, like, I've experienced it personally with, like, you know, immediate family members and people in my life. Like, it's like my entire lifetime I've experienced this, but I realized this is why God is calling me to do what I do.
Yeah.
There is no accident in the experiences that I've had with the people in my life experiencing different mental and emotional health illnesses, the different situations that I've been through and what I've gone through. Why? Because I'm meant to serve these people. I'm meant to serve these conditions. I'm meant to serve these challenges. I'm meant to help people come back to their truth, come back to the reality of who they are so they can free their mind, essentially what this whole conversation is about today. So then they can heal their life, which is going to be our next conversation. So then they can embody their power, which is going to be our third conversation in our trilogy. You're just operating in your truth.
Yeah. That's why I love doing this. That's why I love what you're planning to do with your show, because there is sort of the interconnection of all of who we are. And there's an interconnection. And, you know, we are here to provide a service to our audience. And you very specifically have opened up the portal to really help people address their lives in the moment that they're in so that they can create the future that is their birthright. That's what I love about what you're talking about. And I love the way you're presenting it. Because who doesn't want to free their minds? I mean, it's suffocating. It is suffocating sometimes to be in the space where you feel trapped, where your mind has taken over the complete essence of who you are. And see, what you're doing to help people right now, especially, Radhika, I mean, it's playing out in the headlines when the top athlete in the world cannot perform, and then she's followed by four others, top athletes, and they say, I'm not mentally ready.
Right.
That is just the micro
what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for today. Before we go, I need to really thank you for everything. And I would love to know your personal message. And again, tell people how they can work with you. Thank you so much.
You know, I think my personal message for today, and this is something we've talked about as well too, is that there is nothing wrong with you. Please know that. It is absolutely okay to be exactly where you are right now, to experience exactly what you're experiencing right now. In the deepest level of everything, you are enough. You do matter. You do have purpose. And I want to help you recognize that about yourself. I want to help you integrate and come back to the truth of who you are and step into a life that feels the most powerful to you. How you can do that is visiting RitikaRose.com. Please go to the contact page there. Click the scheduling button to schedule a consultation call with me. Please follow and like my Facebook page. Please keep in mind there's my personal page and my Facebook business page. Please go to the business page, Life Redefined by Ritika Rose. Please follow my Instagram account, awaken.your.truth. And I think all the links are in the show as well.
Yeah.
I think, am I missing any other links?
And
my YouTube page is Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose. And,
you know. And your show's going to be starting. You know, we're doing these trilogy interviews, and then you will have a live show, which is super exciting. All right?
Please share and comment and tag people that need to hear this message because it's so important.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get help for everybody.
We got to get help.
Ritika Rose, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat. We're going to take a short break. More
Thank
to
you.
Come from the most amazing Ritika Rose, and we're going to free our minds. Let's get it on. Thank you, Ritika.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you,
Thank you for listening to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose. I hope that you heard something today that sparked a shift in your perspective to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. The world needs love, acceptance, togetherness, and belonging. My hope is to be a contributing force towards the new world we need to create together. If each of us can awaken our truth and live with more empathy and authenticity, that shift will radiate. Spread the word and tune in next time for more conscious dialogues of healing and transformation on Transformation Talk Radio and Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose on YouTube and across all podcast stations. For more information about how to work with me, please visit RitikaRose.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And while we take a short break between these 2 hours of Transformation Talk Radio, I'm Nate here for a look at the traffic. And so far, things are flowing fairly smoothly out there. Just want to let you know in the northbound directions on I-5, seeing a little bit of stop-and-go conditions after Boeing Field as you approach the I-90 interchange. And then for 405, a little bit of a struggle, but not too bad going east and north through the Renton S-curves. And that will do it for this traffic update. Stay tuned after this news break. It's our second hour of Transformation Talk Radio, and this time around, we have Recovery Recharged with Ellen Stewart, speaking with Pal Runkle to show you how to raise your kids by keeping your cool.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. There are growing concerns about soaring gas prices in the U.S. The White House is pressing OPEC and oil-producing allies to hike oil production in an effort to get gas prices down.
We need to increase production to make sure we have that available to help address the price of gas.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki told a briefing that steps should also be taken to make pricing on the global market more fair. A senior White House official told news outlets President Biden is well aware that gas prices can put a pinch on the family budget. The unnamed official said the administration is anxious to use whatever tools it has to get gas prices reduced. The Homeland Security Secretary is visiting Texas tomorrow, where he'll get an update on the surge of illegal immigration. Republican Border Congressman Tony Gonzalez says that while this is a good step, The White House needs to show more leadership in stopping the flow.
The crisis will continue to spiral out of control. This is about leadership. The president needs to lead, and it's up to us in Congress to make sure that that president shows up.
The White House, meanwhile, says it's taken several steps in recent days to mitigate the ongoing border crisis, and a public health rule called Title 42 is still being used to quickly deport most migrants back to Mexico and Central America. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is hopeful two Senate bills passed this week will get approved in the House. A roughly $1 trillion bill aims to cover physical infrastructure upgrades across the U.S. The second measure is a spending framework for a so-called human infrastructure bill that would cost roughly $3.5 trillion. Merchandise with the word Cuomosexual is no longer the hot commodity it was just a few months ago. According to the New York Times, the term was popularized by YouTube comedian Randy Rainbow, who even sang about his devotion to the governor when Cuomo's daily COVID press conferences became popular. Rainbow said his song Andy about the governor reflected the mood of the country at the time. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all KKNW Call to Win contests. After our contest on-air cue to call, the first completed call received at 888-298-KKNW or number given at time of contest will be selected and verified as the winner. You can win a prize valued up to $100. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150KKNW.com.
And now for your alternative talk weather outlook. Well, an excessive heat warning goes into effect today, which will last until Saturday evening. For today, we'll see sunny skies throughout the day, giving us a high near 86, and northwest winds between 5 and 7 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly clear, with a low around 65. For tomorrow, the temperatures jump up to 94 degrees when the sunny skies continue, cooling off to a low around 68 overnight. And finally, for Friday, it should be the warmest day of the heat wave, with highs reaching the upper 90s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
Oh, I'm really excited about this show. I mean, I'm like jumping up and down. I'm just screaming for it. No pun intended.
No pun intended. I'm telling you, every physician, every parent in America and in the English-speaking world is going to thank us.
Yeah, boy.
I'm telling you, we want to talk about something so important today. Parents are going to just celebrate. I met this man back in 2007 when this book was first written, and since then he has written three books that are bestsellers. The gentleman that is with us today is a man by the name of Hal Runkel, and he is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He is also a life, love, and leadership coach and a New York Times best-selling author of three books, the first of which we are going to discuss today. And I am going to show it to you because I know we're on Facebook Live, and I got this back in 2007 direct from the author, so this is one of the hot off the presses copies. It is
wow.
Scream-Free Parenting, and when I first got it, you were just it was a tiny bit different than what you look now, but it's okay. And at the bottom of this, it says, raising your kids by keeping your cool. So we really want to see what that's all about. And Hal Runkle has made over 1,000 media appearances, including regular spots on NBC's Today Show. He currently co-hosts The Mindset Shift on WSB in Atlanta, where he lives with, and get this, the only woman he has ever dated, his wife of 28 years. That's a story in itself, right, Dr. Pat?
Yeah,
we need to do a podcast just on that. Ladies and gentlemen, the author of Scream Free Parenting, Hal Runkle. Hal, how are you today?
Great to have you.
Well, after that introduction, I'm doing fantastic. I feel on cloud nine. Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's so good to see you again. It is amazing that we met, 14 years ago.
Yes.
And that was great. It's interesting to see. I've not seen a hard copy version of the original version like that in a long time.
Wow, so this is a collector's edition is what you're saying,
sure.
Here, which is what I have.
Did I at least sign it for you? Or
no, you
did
didn't.
I just throw it at you?
You just threw it at me.
Yeah.
Take this book, please. I am so thrilled to talk to you about this. I have a myriad of questions, and I know Dr. Pat also has a lot of questions. The first thing I want to know is, you say in this book that your mission, and this is such a big mission, is to calm the world one relationship at a time. Is that what made you write the book? Tell us about that.
You know what? If I were more honest, I would probably say to calm my world first.
There you go.
You know, if I were more honest about it. And it's because what's interesting is since that book came out, we have since, in 2017, we did a 10th anniversary edition. And I updated it and wrote, a good 50 more pages of stuff. But I also told a story that I didn't tell in the first version. The first version starts off with this funny story about me losing it with my two-year-old in a Waffle House restaurant here in Atlanta. And the whole time, unbeknownst to me, I was still wearing this stupid paper hat that the Waffle House, the grill man wears. And I'm trying to get him to take me seriously with a stupid hat on my head, and my wife pointed it out to me. And it's a funny story, and I wanted to say, look, we're all in this together. We all scream at our kids. It's easy. But there was a more serious story that actually occurred before then that I decided in the 2017 version to actually lead off with. And I was hesitant to tell it because it really is about where I came closest to doing the worst damage a parent can do. And my daughter was born surprisingly. We didn't think we could have kids. And so my wife went to, she was a teacher, and she finished her teaching contract. So I stayed home. I was in graduate school, so I stayed home with her for many, many months, which was great. And I still cherish it. She's now 24, and we had this amazing relationship, and I think it was forged in those moments. But she was the worst colicky baby that the doctors had ever seen. And it was 3 hours every day, inconsolable. So where the only thing I could do was bounce her. I had to carry her like a football, like face down, and my hand kind of on her stomach and bounce. I couldn't bounce on a seat. I couldn't rock in a chair. I had to stand and bounce. And so my quads and my biceps were great, but it was every day. And I would try and test myself, okay, Hal, you can do this. But I was young. I was 24 and 25, and I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't very mature. And one time I lost it.
What did that look like?
I stormed into her room and I dropped her into her crib. Now she landed on a pillow, but then it got worse. Then I screamed at her through gritted teeth, shut the blank up. Veins popping on the forehead, this child we never thought we could have, and I'm cursing at her in the worst way possible. And then it got worse. I noticed that my hands were going down kind of like this. And thankfully, for whatever reason, I had the wherewithal to recognize, okay, this is how child abuse happens. This is how shaken baby syndrome happens in these moments. And I saw my hands more than I saw her, which was just an incredible blessing. And so I just backed out of her room. I backed out and I went outside. And I screamed up to the heavens, to the universe, to whomever. I just said, I don't know what I am going to do, but I'm never going to do that again. And I wasn't thinking that I was going to create a program called Screen Free Parenting several years later, But I'd be lying if it weren't kind of that was kind of where it was conceived. And it was just this, I had to come up, if I'm not going to hit or yell, what am I going to do? Because that's all I knew growing up. What am I going to do? Because I don't trust myself. So it is honest. I wanted to call him. I had to find a way to parent that prevented me from doing that. And that's really what began to develop out of what became Scream Free Parenting.
Mm. Well, that was certainly an epiphany for you, and thank goodness you didn't go any further. But tell me just exactly what it means to be scream-free. Does that literally mean just not yelling at all? I mean, you got to let it out somewhere.
That would be a real problem in my Italian family.
And it's amazing. I have gotten the opportunity to speak in 20 countries around the globe, and it's amazing how almost every single culture will use that as their explanation for it.
Exactly.
Whether it's Italian or New Yorker or I'm an East Texan, or it's interesting. The only people who don't use their culture that I found to justify yelling are the British. But we all do. There's a University of New Hampshire study that says 98% of all parents have unleashed a psychologically damaging outburst towards each of their children before the age of 5. And we know the other 2% are just lying about it. Right? We have all screamed at our kids. And yet, it is about lowering our volume, but it's about far more than that.
Yeah.
The book really should have been called Emotional Reactivity-Free Parenting, but that wouldn't even fit on the cover. Right? It's a mouthful. And so I said, when we say scream, what we mean is any form of emotional reactivity, meaning I'm not choosing what I'm doing next. I'm just reacting instead of responding. In so many ways, I'm getting fitted for a tattoo on my arms. It just says respond more on this one and react less on this one, because that is my mantra for life.
Yeah.
Because responding takes the human part of our brain. It takes us learning to pause so we can access that part of our brain instead of just the reptile and mammal parts of our brain reacting into whatever's happening. And when we get reactive, in whatever way we get reactive, because sometimes it's screaming, sometimes it's a 3-day silent treatment. Sometimes it's being really petty and passive aggressive. Sometimes it's hitting. Sometimes it is being cold and distant. There's lots of different ways to get reactive. Sometimes it's taking the actions of a child so personally that we develop kind of this resentment towards them that spreads out on all of our other relationships. But the reason why we got to focus on that is because when we get reactive, it just makes things worse. Mm-hmm. It actually was worse than that. It actually creates the very things we were hoping to avoid. One of the seminal stories was my 2-year-old son. I was coming out of the top of the stairs. We moved into a new house with this 2-story foyer, stairwell attached to one wall, left a banister on the other side of the stairs with a little ledge on the outside of the banister. Everybody know where this story's going. So I come out of my bedroom, top of the stairs, and there's my 2-year-old climbing on the outside of the steps.
Wow.
Just his toes on that little ledge, and he's just hanging on to the banister pickets as he climbs up. By the time I see him, he's halfway up. So his feet are about 5 feet off the ground, nothing below him but hardwood floors. So, okay, Mr. Scream Free, what the heck do you do now? Now, I wasn't planning on going downstairs, so I could have just kept on trucking down the hall, hope it works out for the best, hope it don't hear a splat. And I hear parents all the time say, well, I'm not a screaming parent. I'm a laid-back parent. Well, that's just another form of screaming, because what you're doing is saying, I can't stay connected to the situation and stay calm, so I disconnect from the situation. And usually the laid-back parent is married to an openly screaming parent who's having to make up for your laid-backness. But what am my integrities, my son's in mortal danger. What does my integrity tell me to do? I have to stay connected. But what happens if I stay connected but I can't stay calm? What happens if I give in to the panic that I'm feeling and I lunge for him or I yell? It just increases the chances that he'll fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every interaction we have with our kids. When we freak out, we actually increase the chances of the very thing we were afraid of happening. And that's why we focus so much on, it's not about my kid's behavior, it's about mine.
You know, I understand completely, and you hear, you're telling some great stories, but talk to us a little bit more logistically, okay,
yes,
in a situation like that, all right? I get really upset because my child is doing something that is driving me crazy,
right,
and in order to keep myself from opening my mouth and making a big mistake of some kind, what's the immediate response or the immediate situation where I can stifle that emotional reactivity? What should I be doing?
Well, if you're waiting until the heat of the moment to suddenly learn this, it's a little challenging. And it's because what you have to do is one of the hardest things to do, which is learn to pause.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, I think it's the essential human thing, because no other creature can do it. Learning to pause when we're feeling all of those feelings, when we say, they're driving me crazy. I always think about the old Zig Ziglar line, nobody can drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. Right? But how did I give them the keys? The way we talk about it is, you know, kids push our buttons. And what's amazing, in other countries, other languages, they still use that metaphor, you know, push my buttons. It's because we all have the same technology, right? But why did I, how did I give them such easy access to my remote control? How did I hand that to them? That's what I want to get curious about before those moments, so that I don't give them that much power. Because think about it. I'm giving them unbelievable amounts of power if all they have to do is act like a kid, and then I join them and act like a kid as well. So it has to be this commitment that no matter what, I am going to be an adult. And because when we say we've lost it, right, and we all have, we've lost it with my kids, what's the it in that sentence? I've really come to believe it's my adulthood. In the heat of the moment, I've sacrificed the very thing that differentiates me from my child, and then I'm wondering why they don't respect me. Well, why should they respect me? If I'm taking their actions that personally, like it's an affront to me, that it is somehow a signal about my entire life, what the fact that a four-year-old's acting like a four-year-old, then I've given them all the power. And so no matter what comes out of my mouth at that moment, what I'm really saying are three words: calm me down.
Yeah.
I cannot handle that you're doing this behavior, so I need you to stop that behavior so that I can regain my composure. It's basically like saying, look, I need you to behave better because I can't. And then we wonder why they don't respect us.
You know, I want to ask you something, and I know we're getting ready to go to break here, and I'd like to talk with you about it when you come back, Hal.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you talked about was, it's my favorite term, emotional connectivity. And, you know, it's such a it's a concept that we blow by because we don't really understand when we're talking about emotional connectivity. We don't really understand that what we're really talking about is learning elements of emotional things like empathy, things like compassion. And I want to talk about that. You mentioned it, and I know you're going to get the tattoo. And I want to talk about the difference between emotional connectivity, what that means, and emotional reactivity, because there is this place in the pause. I think this is such an important topic. We have a new host, and her show's name is The Pause. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll let everybody know how they can find out more about how they can take a look and, I don't know, maybe get some kind of signature version of what's going on. But more importantly, to really look at the introspective parts of ourselves, you know, that happen as we are building up that momentum to have an emotional reaction. And by the way, if we're having that reaction with the kiddos, what do you think we're doing at work and other places? Right, Ellen? Everybody,
absolutely,
let's take a short break. We will be right back. Fabulous conversation. 1-800-930-2819. If you're getting a little screaming going on and want to get a little help here, give us a call. 1-800-930-2819. We're going to take a shorty when we come back. Are you emotionally reactive, or are you ready to try something different? Maybe a new pair of shoes. We'll be right back.
And so, become yourself, because your path is just a good guide. Teach your children well.
Can't get enough of iSoul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation.
National Emergency Alert System. This system was developed by broadcast and cable operators in voluntary cooperation with Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Communications Commission, and local authorities to inform in the event of an emergency. If it had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the tone alert you heard at the start message. No action is required.
Deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
One of my favorite songs, Correct Me If Those Nasty, Teach Your Children, and today we're going to be teaching parents. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. I'm here with my favorite co-host, Dr. Pat, and we're here with Hal Runkle, whose book, Scream-Free Parenting, is the topic of discussion today on Recovery Recharge. So, Hal, let's get right back to it. Dr. Pat mentioned emotional reactivity. So let's talk a little bit about why that may be so hard to do, to stay more cool and collected and try to calm down a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about that, Hal.
Yeah, it is. The only way I've ever seen it actually work is we have to be completely dedicated to keeping our composure more than changing their behavior. And when we're so focused on changing their behavior, we will eventually lose it because it's just going to instigate their own natural desires to not be controlled. And
okay, so what you're saying is I can't tell my kid to do something and expect him to do it, right? I can't change his behavior. The only thing I can change is my reaction to that behavior. Right. Is that what you're saying?
You can't change his behavior without his cooperation.
Okay.
And that's the biggest thing that parents, like I talk a lot about giving our children choices earlier than you're comfortable with. Not totally open-ended choices. We talk a lot about space and place, and that's giving our kids space, which means choices that are theirs, and letting them know their place, which means you don't have a choice here. And parents are always, well, you can't do that early on, or they don't know how to make choices. When you tell a child to do something, who decides whether or not they do it? they do. Then you can threaten them, you can whatever, but you cannot make a child do anything, not without their cooperation. So if all we're doing is yelling commands at them all the time, then we're telling them you need to make a choice, but we're not empowering them. We're expecting them to make a choice without empowering them to how to make choices. And yet, at the same time, the whole goal of parenting is to help our kids become good decision makers. That's the one thing I've learned going around the world. Every parent in the world wants the same thing. We want a 25-year-old who can make good decisions, who can take responsibility for their decisions, right? And we want that, but how do we help them get there if all we're doing is trying to control their behavior because I need their behavior to manage my anxiety? That's what the, and so we end up putting them, the least mature members of the family, in charge of the whole family instead of, you know, your child's talking back to you, talking rudely to me, and say, you know what, you can talk rudely to me all you want. I cannot control what comes out of your mouth. Now, was I tempted to try and control what comes up? Yeah, I want to remove his tongue, but I can't do that. So I just give him the power that he already has. Look, you're in control of what comes out of your mouth. You can talk rudely to me all you want. Here's what's going to happen if you do. One, it's not going to make me upset. Why? Because you're not that powerful. Two, it's not going to change my mind. And three, if you keep it up, then with my son years ago, you're going to leave your Game Boy for 24 hours. So go right ahead. Tell me what you want. Because what it says is I'm not trying to control your behavior. I'm trying to help you control your behavior. And that, if I have stumbled upon one little stroke of genius, is this basic recognition. It's not my job to manage their behavior. It's my job to help them manage their own behavior. And it starts by me managing mine, no matter what. And without that kind of commitment, then I'll just continue to be reactive.
So you turn around and say in the book that the greatest thing that parents can do for their kids is to focus on themselves as parents.
Yeah.
Tell us exactly what you mean by that and why it may be hard for parents to do.
Oh, it's incredibly hard for parents to do because it feels selfish. You know, that statement all right there, focus on myself. No, I'm supposed to focus on my kids, you know. And that's the first lie of parenting, is that as soon as you have kids, your life is essentially over. Now it's all about the kids. Everything's all about the kids, right? Your whole world is all about them. I mean, look at our minivans with stickers emblazoned all over them, with kids' names on the stickers shouting to the whole world who really owns the van, you know, and the rest of our lives. And so it's all about them. And so what we do is we build up this resentment because we believe that lie, that it's all about them. But we build up this resentment, like, you know what? And every parent's had this conversation with themselves. These kids, they do not appreciate all the sacrifices I make on their behalf, you know. And every time I trained myself, every time I had that question, I still, you know, have it, is, okay, Hal, is that why you did this? You know, is that what you're in this for? I mean, my daughter's 24, going to visit in a couple of weeks. Am I expecting her to whip out a notebook and say, hey, Dad, I want to set aside some time because I made a list of all the things I've never thanked you for, and so I'm really hoping to go that. No, it's not going to happen. Never. Never. And that's not why I'm doing it. I don't want her thinking about me. I want her thinking about herself and her life. But it comes down to this. Whatever we focus on, we will try to control. And if I'm focused on my kids, then I will try to control their behavior. All we're trying to do is reclaim the focus back onto the only one I can, which is me. And my job as a therapist, as a coach, your job as a host on the radio, in any conversation, my job is to make sure I have the lowest heart rate in the conversation, because that's what good leaders do. And so it's so hard. Your kid, you just found, you know, your kid's been vaping for 2 years and you didn't even know it.
Right.
You go to confront him and you're furious. Why? Because you're scared. But you're also like, how did I miss this? You're beating yourself up. You're wondering. All those things are going on. Well, pay attention to all those things and say, okay, what do I need to do to be calm in this conversation? Because I really have come to believe, especially teenagers, that the entire act of parenting is summed up in the job of teaching a child to drive.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, I remember my daughter got her learner's permit, and when she's in the driver's seat, and I'm in the passenger seat, and I'm realizing, you know what, I'm completely at the mercy of the decisions of an immature, inexperienced driver. So, but I don't have a car with the steering wheel, you know, a driver's ed car with a steering wheel on my side, so I literally do not have control. And if I tried to wrestle control, reach across there, it would endanger us both even more. So what do I need to do? I need to think about, okay, how do I want to be influential, which is different than control. influential means I want to hopefully inspire her to do better herself, not take the wheel out of her hands.
Mm-hmm.
But how am I going to be influential in that very stress-filled situation? Well, anybody who's ever taught a kid to drive knows you got to be the calmest one in the car. And so I think of that in every interaction. Hey, Dad, I ran out of money. Hey, Dad, or I discovered, you know, that, you know, daughter or son's been looking at porn forever. Or they've lied to me about in-app purchases on their phone. I had a dad who discovered a $5,000 bill, you know, his 13-year-old, because he's been buying on a video game. What do they need from me in that moment? Because I got to think about if I'm going to yell, to what end? Just to make them mad? Because what I really want is for them to think about their behavior. But if all I'm doing is screaming at them and yelling at them, guess what? They're not thinking about their behavior.
That's all they're thinking about is the yelling and screaming.
They're thinking about what a blowhard dad is.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And I don't want to give that to them. What I really want is for them to consider themselves.
Yeah.
But that means I got to consider myself first.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got a question for you, because one of the things that, you know, along the way of my corporate work that I discovered is what, I don't know, academics call it spillover.
Yeah.
Basically what it is you're yelling at your kid, you're yelling at your employees, that kind
yep.
of deal.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a message that goes beyond this, especially in what you talked about, how when you're referencing emotional reactivity. And here's the question I want to ask you about, because, you know, this can turn into what I like to not think about, addictive behavior,
mm-hmm.
where it is your go-to.
Yeah.
And it's not just your go-to for a child that is colic and doesn't even know right. why you're doing it.
Right.
But it then becomes a pattern. We go from it being a, let's just call it a behavioral situation, to then it becomes a pattern. Then it becomes what most people look at, a level of instability. And then in my eyes, it becomes almost an addictive behavior, because you cannot not do it. And can you talk to that? Because most people just see it as, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I just raise my voice at my child, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's really not just that, is it?
No, and Alan can speak to this probably better than me, but physiologically it absolutely becomes an addiction, because it stirs up some of the yeah. neurochemicals that we then get addicted to more of. It stirs up dopamine, because I'm getting in this anticipation and rush of it, and it's like complaining. We can get addicted to complaining, because it's like we're walking around with a sense of injustice. And it gives us this pseudo sense of rush. And, like, I got a legitimate complaint, right? And we get addicted to that rage, because it makes us feel good. I mean, all addictions come down to, what can I do to make me feel better in this exact moment? And how can I continue to do that? And then, of course, they turn on themselves, because the behavior doesn't deliver as much as it did the first time. And so we got to do more and more of the behavior. And that's how it becomes a pattern. And here's the worst part in terms of parenting, well, and also with leadership, because I work more with companies and parents these days, and you're exactly right, Dr. Pat. It's such a similar process, but it works sometimes. It gets compliance in the heat of the moment, because they're scared of us or scared of the power we have over them, and then we think, well, that's going to control their behavior, and that's going to rot me, and it's going to calm my anxiety and get us past the sales hurdle that we have at the end of this month or whatever. It doesn't work long term. But it can work really well short term. But what I ask leaders all the time is, do scared people make good decisions?
ask Captain Tully landing that plane down near in the Hudson, folks.
The best examples of scream-free ever.
Okay.
You know, unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah, scared people don't make a decision. And sometimes so parents are like, well, I was scared of my parents, and that, you know, that's what kept me on the right? And do you love your parents, and do you love being with your parents? Do you have an amazing relationship with them? Did you back then?
Mm.
What parents really want is for the kids to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't force somebody to respect
you.
You can make somebody scared of you. You can't force somebody to respect you.
Yeah.
And the second you try, you've actually given them reason not to respect you.
I was just thinking that because, you know, I would love for you to follow this through. I had an emotional reaction today, and I did. It was a little emotional reaction, but I kept it to myself. Like, I was like, what it mean? And then I calmed myself down about it. I get articles, and I got this article from, I think, Gallup. And the article was really interesting as it started to talk about make people management your organic growth strategy. And I was like, that's really cool. And then I scrolled down, and boy, have I heard this before. This was my reaction. What is the boss to coach journey? Okay, so this whole thing is talking about how bosses should become coaches. And I'm looking at this, and it's a whole deal. It's like a whole program about it. As if you become a coach, you're never going to tell your team what to do. You know, and I think sometimes we run into this problem when we step over a little bit too much and we forget we are actually parents. You know,
Well, as bosses, I just did a podcast for a business podcast, and they were trying to say, is there a parallel between parenting? And here's the deal. Good parenting is good leadership because neither good parents nor good leaders baby their kids or employees. So people think, well, no, you're not parenting your employees because that's babying. No, that's bad parenting your employees. Right? Good parenting is leadership. And I like the model of I do teach CEOs how to coach, but that doesn't remove them from being the CEO and the chief decision maker.
Right.
But I will say this. My brother-in-law has bought companies, built them up, sold them, done extraordinarily well, and he's just an amazing leader. And he said in 20 years of being a CEO, one time, he said, well, we're doing this because I'm the CEO. And he knew he had failed as soon as he said it. Because he was relying on his positional authority.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you use your positional authority to leverage a decision, whether at home or at work, you lose a little bit of that positional authority in those people's eyes. So when parents say, because I said so, that does not increase your kids' respect of you. It does not.
No, in fact, I think it immediately sets up a defensive situation, and it sets your child pitted against you. One of the things that I took from your book is you talk about giving kids or even giving employees their space or their ability to have their opinions while still maintaining authority. And I think that's the same thing that happens in leadership as well. To be in charge, as you put it, means to not only be there in a calm way, but to motivate and inspire, and that's something that a boss can do, and that's something that a coach does as well, and that's something that a good parent does as well. So I think that in that way it's all linked, and that's why, you know, the books that you write, you know, have the same theme. By calming our own anxieties and taking back our own control, we seem to be happy enough with ourselves to let people function in their own capacities.
And because we stop seeing everybody as a threat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We stop seeing every voice of dissent as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not. So I've got a client right now, client system, very wealthy family in the Northeast that belongs to one of the most exclusive golf clubs in the world. And the grandfather is so reptilian because reptiles, all they do is see everything as a threat. Like, snakes have snake babies, and then they don't see them as babies. They can't form family relationships. They see them as threats to the food supply. So this guy, I couldn't believe it when I heard it, but his 12-year-old grandson is a good golfer, but he will no longer take him to play golf at the club. Why? Because he's a good golfer.
Yeah. He's jealous of his 12-year-old grandson.
Instead of bragging to everyone he can meet, my 12-year-old just beat me. This kid's amazing. No, no, I can't take him. He's going to beat me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that means it's just reflective of so many of us in leadership positions that we have the position, but we're so insecure in it that we need people to behave a certain way to kind of reaffirm the position that we've already been put in.
Exactly.
Because we doubt ourselves so much.
Yeah. And Hal, let's play this out for a minute if we could, because this really talks to your book. You know, this really talks to Screen Free. Because what you just described is a power struggle.
Yeah.
And think about the power struggle you have with a 3-month-old infant. Like, that is one of the most comical visions. You can actually create, like, a little comic about it. Yeah. But it's not funny at some level, because you actually are in this battle, this power struggle. And that power struggle turns into power over, and that's what you just described. The action, it's one thing to scream and be, like, up in the face of a baby who can't hear you. But what you described is also part of screaming. But there's no screaming.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's an action that expressed that I have power over you.
Which usually means, and I need it because I don't have power over me.
Wow. And that's really important. Wow. And I need it because I don't have power over me. And that's exactly why keeping the focus of attention on ourselves and learning from ourselves and where our ego lies and where our own self-esteem and confidence lies is how we project our views on other people.
And we develop these weird, bizarre things that maybe we grew up with, like leader never apologizes. Like, what are you, out of your mind? That is the easiest way to earn the respect you've been craving from the people you meet. When you screw up, you go to them and say, hey, dude, you know what? No matter what you did, you deserve better leadership from me. I screwed that up.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's okay. Say, no, it's not. You deserve better from me.
Yeah, I did that this morning. I did that to two producers this morning. I actually hired three new producers. We have four producers. And, you know, everything I learned in recruiting just went out the door when I hired three people at the same time. Okay. Right. Yeah, rule number one of recruiting. You never hire more people at one time than the number of people you actually have. We had one, and I brought in three more. But what a great way for personal growth. But I had to apologize this morning on the show that came before this, because it's my responsibility to know that there are two shows, one client, and it's my job for new people to let them know, hey, you're both working on the same thing. But, you know, if you practice that a little bit, it really is humbling. There's a freedom to what you're talking about that is so deep. If people could learn what you're teaching, and I know we're talking about kids, but I follow the statistics on abuse, and I follow, this is, you know, an area that I grew up with, and I studied it and so forth. What's been happening in the past 18 months in the quiet of people's homes, we have to figure out a way to give people permission to get some safe help in this arena, even if they do nothing but read your book.
Mental health is having a moment, which is great. I don't like to just keep it to mental health. My new phrase that I'm trying to make popular is self-health, which is physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. But it's got to be, again, that's got to be my number one focus, is being the healthiest self I can. Mm. And it does feel selfish, but we're scared of being humbled. And yet, I love you talk about this power struggle. Ultimately, the power struggle is within me, is who is in charge of me.
Yeah.
Is it my anxiety or is it my principles? And that's wake up every day with what is driving me. And if I say somebody else is driving me crazy, then it's not them. It's my anxiety about their behavior that's driving me. And anxiety is such at an all-time high for a number of reasons. And we can show the stats, right? And it started well before the pandemic, but this has gotten obviously elevated quite a bit. But anxiety is so, so high. And because, you know what, it's like this thing where we're supposed to need people, and they're supposed to need us. And then that's what makes a good relationship. And I think that's the biggest lie in the world. It's one of the biggest lies about parent or about marriage, is that we're supposed to need each other. You know what? That's like two ticks without a dog, just sucking the life out of each other. That is not a model for a relationship, but it's this need. I want my wife. I don't need her. I don't need her to validate my position, because usually what that means is I don't feel secure enough in my own position. And so what I'm trying to help my clients do is go from insecurity to inner security. That's the journey. Because when I have inner security, then I don't see everybody as a threat. I don't need to control anyone else's behavior. I don't even need to control my kids, because why would I?
Mm-hmm.
They need to control their behavior. Who's responsible for my kids?
Yeah, and that's what this was the biggest lie, I think, in all relationships, is that I'm responsible for someone else. But here's the problem. I take responsibility for someone else. I take responsibility from them. And then I complain when they don't take responsibility for themselves. But why should they? How can they? If I've been taking responsibility for them and their behavior and their choices their whole lives, that's not my job. My job is I am responsible to them, not for them. Because they have to be responsible for their own behavior. And that's my message to leaders. It's actually the subject of my new book. And it's this relationship formula called 2 is greater than 4. Meaning my relationship, my responsibility to you is what I have to concentrate on. Because I can't take responsibility for you without taking it from you. And so if my job is to help people become more responsible, then I've got to first do it over me.
That's a very particular distinction, and that really helps us a great deal. So Dr. Pat talked about, of course, her business and what she does with her employees, and we're also talking about parenting. And in the world of recovery and recovery clients and all the parents that I deal with, there are specific problems that come to them, and most of the time that comes from teenagers. And the most direct questions that come to me, I thought maybe we'd do some scream-free workarounds so parents can get some immediate help here. Parents have determined that their child is smoking pot in their room, and they go to discover it, and they don't know how to approach their child and get them to stop. Talk to me about how that parent can go about this in a scream-free way. Give us an idea.
Well, the first thing, of course, is you've got to pause. And because when you discover that, it's all your anxieties, all your fears, all your worst suspicions about your own parenting. Then you go to places where, what else am I missing out? What's going to happen when we begin to prognosticate their whole future is now ruined? All those things. And it's really hard to pause and calm ourselves down. My first thing is I want to talk to somebody else before I talk to my kid. I want to talk to somebody else who has a little more objectivity. Now, does this probably include my spouse? Yes. But I think I want to talk to another parent. I want to talk to I have a coach. I have 3 different coaches, business coach, and life coach, and leadership coach, and I want to talk to them because I want to process through it before. Otherwise, it's just my anxiety is going to take the lead.
And maybe a recovery coach.
And a recovery coach. Right. Yes. And Ellen, you and I know one in common that is my best friend. And he's one of the best in the world. And so I talk to him. And then because I want to think through strategically, not just reactively. Because what do I ultimately want? For the behavior to stop? Yes. But who do I want to stop the behavior? Not me. Mm-hmm. I want them to stop the behavior because that's the only way recovery ever happens.
Right.
You know? So what can I do? What moves can I make that can increase the likelihood that they will take responsibility for their behavior? Now, does that mean I allow things? No, I got to control what I can. But how much can I control? I can control my environment. I could do drug testing of them. That might absolutely be the right move. But I can't control what they do outside my house. You know, I've got so many parents over the years that, you know, I have life 360 and I'm controlling and I can see what my kid's doing at any time. And my question is, okay, until when? You know?
And just because you can see it doesn't mean that you can do something about it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm watching my child get high, so now still I'm still faced with what do I do about it?
What do I do about it? So can I have a mature conversation with my child about this? And tell them genuinely about my concerns. And especially, you know, pot is a tough one because it's now legalized in so much part of the country, and it will be across the country within 5 years. And I'm a big supporter of that. I hate criminalization of that, but not supporter of it with teenagers because it's terrible for the teenage brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, terrible. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to them about that. I want to help them understand there's freedom for you to do whatever at a certain point. But now I'm going to do whatever I can to not allow it in the circumstances I can, but ultimately, I can't stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can stop you.
Let me ask you about this, Hal, because this is a solution that one of a parent made who has over close to 2 decades in recovery. Part of the recovery effort, and you know, we know you cannot stop it.
Yeah.
But
you know, these beautiful conversations, and believe me, she's had them. And you do things that you know need to be done, right, to say, we don't, this is not in my home, and this is the consequence if it's in my home.
Right.
And parents do that. And they don't have to do it screaming, mm-hmm. right? Most of the folks I know that are in recovery that have this conversation, it's not a screaming one,
right?
Because they know that doesn't work. But I find this new interesting approach now, and it is more than one parent doing it. It sounds odd, but they are doing random UAs, right? Different term, different drug, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's urine analysis. And so I find it fascinating how powerful this is. And yet some people see it as completely invasive.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, like having your 12-year-old continue to smoke pot in your house. I don't know. But the effect of it is really interesting. And, you know, and it's not just like you do a random analysis without having conversations. But I'm finding around that issue, people are getting really creative, Al. I don't know. What do you think?
They are. Well, there's a dad that just said, look, when you start sixth grade, from sixth until 12th grade, doesn't matter what your behavior is, I'm going to randomly drug test you. Before anything had ever happened. Before there's any, he's like, my kids, probably, I don't see them doing it, but here's why he did it, is it gave them an easy excuse to say no to their friends. Like, I can't. My dad's been drug testing.
Exactly.
Well, which was interesting. And they should think about this fact, is our job as parents in many ways is to prepare our kids for life without us, for the real world out there. And are there jobs out there where they're going to be randomly drug tested?
Yes.
Of course there are. There are already schools, public schools.
There's no question about it. Oh, yeah.
So I'm just preparing them for the eventuality they're going to do. Now, some people can say, well, that's just going to encourage them to get better at hiding. Okay. I will always say this. Relationships are more powerful than rules. They always have been. They always will be. I want to concentrate on building my relationship with them so that no matter what their behavior is doing, I never want them to be so terrified that they can't talk to me about it. I would rather them tell me, yes, I'm going to continue to do drugs. You can test me. It's going to be positive. I would rather, as long as we're still talking, then there's a chance. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have rules. It doesn't mean you don't have guidelines.
Yeah, you don't get the car.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not right. And that's one thing is, look, if you continue to test this, I can't responsibly allow you to drive a vehicle. Now, here's another thing. And Ellen, our common friend, we both did this with our children. David Blackwell is our common friend. He's a brilliant recovery coach. And he just sort of told his boys, look, I know every treatment center in the country. I can get you into a bed immediately. If there's two incidences of you abusing drugs, you're gone. Why? Because I love you. That's why. And I don't want it to take a foothold. What you do after you leave is up to you. Launch out into the world. But until you're 18, I have the power to do this.
Yes, and no matter what, okay, as a recovery coach myself, no matter what, the purpose of the book and what we're trying to tell parents today and the purpose of the three books that you write is it's not about the problem that comes to you. It's how parents and how you react to the problem because there are different circumstances. I mean, you have parents that a kid has a messy room, a kid is talking back to you, a kid is staying out and denying curfew and doing all of these things. But what you're trying to explain to us is that if you go about it in a way that opens up communication and continues to foster communication and open that line, then you may be able to see things in a different way and you may be able to still maintain authority and in the same time giving your kids some space and having them really understand some things.
Right. Yeah? And it's what leadership really comes down to is recognizing I don't have control.
Mm-hmm.
And when I give that up over anybody else. But when I give that up, when I have real control over me, then I have at least have a chance to influence. And that's what we want.
So if parents think that they've been doing it all wrong and they want to be able to start again and they want to change, is it too late for a parent to change and start being a screen-free parent? What do you think?
I always say if you're asking if it's too late, then it's not too late.
That's right. That's right.
Because there are a million tests that you're going to go through, and your kids are going to bring to you every day from now on, no matter how much you've blown it in the past. And we all have blown it. Every one of our kids, maybe especially for professionals like us, our kids have to survive us. Because we are human beings who are completely flawed, and we're going to mess them up. So here's one thing to do. The one thing I do always tell parents to start with is, okay, what is one thing you are doing for your child that you know they need to be doing for themselves? Just take one thing. You know, I'm still, you know, making their lunches, or I'm still doing their laundry, or I'm still waking them up. You're waking up a 17-year-old? Come on, that's not... I was listening to these parents once. We were at a baseball game, and they were saying, well, I tried this, and that hasn't worked, and I tried this, and I'm like, what? You know, like, trying to wake him up. My 17-year-old, he won't wake up. I'm like, well, what has he tried? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you're acting like it's your problem. It's his problem to wake himself up, right? It's his life. So just think of one thing I'm doing too much of, because that is actually crippling them and taking away their responsibilities. So that's the first step, is just think of one thing you're doing for them that they actually need to be doing for themselves.
Yeah.
And start there.
Yeah.
And also, take a step back and recognize parenting is the hardest thing in the world. It's the hardest job in the world, and we all expect to be able to do it well.
It's right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate. Right? It's the hardest job in the world. So... LeBron James has like 9 coaches, you know, footwork coach, mental coach, conditioning coach, right?
Yeah.
Who am I to think I don't need a coach to help me with the most important thing I'll ever do?
I have 5 coaches. I have to.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I have
I've
a
got three right now.
Yeah.
I need another one.
Table tennis, so I got to have that coach.
Saying
on that.
I love
that's
it.
Where I need to not have emotional reactivity.
Exactly.
Even with my robot.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is the conversation, Hal and Ellen, and we've talked about it a lot. If we were meant to take this journey alone, each of us would have had our own planet, right?
Right.
But the message really today and what you're bringing forward for me is, please don't be afraid to ask for help. Ellen, right?
Absolutely. That's the number one thing. And then maybe that's the first thing that parents have to realize in order to change situations around.
Yeah.
Right? Just say, okay, I don't have all the answers, and it's okay that I don't have all the answers, but I know where to get some help, either with me or with Hal. So, Hal, today, do us a favor. Tell us where we can find your book and where we can find you.
Anywhere books are sold, but Amazon is the easiest place. But screamfree.com is a place where you can reach out to me. And also, I have a new website, halrunkle.com, but it's kind of in process. But screamfree, just like it sounds, .com is the way to reach out. And you can email me directly, just hal@screamfree.com. And I hear from parents all over the world every week. It's amazing the problems are kind of changing, and because it's a new digital world, but even it's different than when my kids were growing up, and so there's constant, but the issues still ultimately remain the same, is what am I responsible for, what am I not, how do I lead them, how do I parent them better than the way I was parented.
That's fantastic, Hal. Thank you so much. And also, if you need some help from me, the recovery coach, it's Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. My 800 number, 800-889-1757. I'm still doing a half hour of free COVID stress coaching if you need, and anything else you need. And if you want me to put you in touch with Hal, please reach out and we will do that. Thanks so much, Hal, for being here today. Dr. Pat, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you. You've been listening to Recovery Recharged with certified life and recovery coach Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Don't miss your next opportunity to let me help you recharge your recovery, let go of your secrets, and change the way you think, feel, and act right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Happy Wednesday, Eric Ryder here with you on KKNW. We're approaching noon. Time for a quick look at our traffic. Southbound I-5, stop and go at this hour, stretching from Northeast 145th to the 520 interchange. Slow in the south end in the Fife area. Northbound, you're going to find some slowing around the 520 interchange. And 405 congestion now, southbound Linwood on down to about 204th. Blowing again around 520 and around Southeast 64th, Newcastle area. Northbound 167 to Sunset, stop and go at this hour. Right now, sunshine, it's 82 degrees here at the Puget Sound. Make sure you stay tuned. Mystic Radio with Bob, Robin, and Nels is coming your way after the news and weather.
This report is sponsored by Terra First.